Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming, what the hell in my TV for telling me? Yeah, are you telling me that I'm the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. Am I the only one not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did? Am I the only one who can-
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the great American Patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Al. Happy Hanukkah and Happy New Year.
And a Merry Christmas to you and yours. And
thank you. Thank you.
A lot happening this week. You'd figure with the Christmas week, things would slow down. But we got a whole show tonight. So buckle up. And our call-in number is?
Area code 319-527-6706. And it is the last Vito Esposito show of the year for 2023 too, and then January we go into a new year, so it should be fun. A lot of excitement going on and a lot happening, and certainly January will be an interesting month with the change in the House and change of leadership in the House. And apparently there is a unknown individual who is up for the speakership that could contest Milquetoast McCarthy.
Good. So. Yeah, I disagree with President Trump on this one. I think he's making a big mistake backing McCarthy.
I understand why he did it. I really do. I understand why he did it. And I, you know, in a move to prevent Hakeem Jeffries, the election denier, Hakeem Jeffries, and the left winger, of course, another Marxist, you know, probably as left and possibly as bad as Nancy Pelosi. But in order to prevent that from happening, and then, of course, the Republicans shooting themselves in the foot, which happens to be a regular occurrence. But I think it's all by design when you have a uniparty system. So,
well, have you ever heard in your lifetime, whatever party is the majority party, having somehow, some way, some act of God, having the other party as the Speaker of the House? Because I've never seen it.
I've never seen it, but if you get 100%, see, this is what I'm referring to is the Democrats stick together 100% of the time. There is no deviation from it. If the powers to be, the hierarchy of the Democrat Party, say Nancy Pelosi will be Speaker of the House, there are no defectors. All 202 of the Democrats will vote for Hakeem Jeffries. Now, on the Republican side, if you get a split, and let's say you've got Milquetoast McCarthy getting 160 and the other Republican gets 65, who's got the 200, who's got the majority of the vote? It would be the Democrat, and the Democrats don't deviate. This is something that, you know, all of this noble garbage that the Republicans try to portray, well, we're going to stay above the
wouldn't it be like a primary where McCarthy and the other person will go head to head, and then whoever wins it will be the speaker.
Everything gets thrown into the ring. So the Democrats put up their candidate, the Republicans put up their candidates, and then the independents do the same, and then they all vote. So if and if I'm wrong, that, you know, please correct me on that one. That was but I could swear that that's what happened when Nancy Pelosi got the nod, 2 years ago. She was up, and so was there were a couple other Republicans, and she got the majority of the votes.
Seems like then that would have happened at least once or twice in the history of the United States of America, because splitting the vote gets presidents elected. I've never heard of splitting the votes during a Speaker of the House vote. But I got to look into that.
Well, yeah, please do. And when, I remember when Newt Gingrich was a speaker, when he came out with that Contract for America, that solidified that solidified his winning the speakership hands down. So, I mean, it was perfect. But, you know, no one's got the foresight. And I'm just so tired of the Republicans saying, oh, we got to stay above the fray and all that noise. And it's just noise. It really is. You know, I mean, you can do all the noble stuff, but, you know, show some backbone, show some spine, and stick it to the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party has been sticking it to you, unless, of course, you're all part of the same system and you allow the Democrats to define who you are. And that's another problem. That's very problematic. I don't know why the Republicans don't stand up and fight, but we do know why. And the only reason why is because they're all part of the same party. You know, how is it you allow the Democrats to define who you are? You sat there through the primary, this midterm, and you allowed the Democrat Party to define the Republicans by slandering them and then using the term MAGA Republicans as if they're terrorists. And I don't know why the Republican leadership didn't stand up and say, what is wrong with candidates who want to make America great? Please tell me what's wrong with lower gas prices and being energy independent. What makes that a radical proposition? Oh, wait a minute. It worked. What is it that makes America great, and how radical it is to stop subsidizing like countries like communist China, the European Union, Mexico, with these poor trade deals, and we're subsidizing those countries to the tune of $1 trillion a year, $530 billion alone to communist China. And how is that radical, you know? How is it radical to follow the United States Constitution under our constitutional republic? But where are the Republicans in regards to that? They sit there and they allow the Democrat Party, the destructive Democrat Party, to define who they are. When in fact, the real anti-constitutionalists, the real anti-Americans, the real anti-free enterprise is the Democrat Party side. And without a doubt, I mean, it's just unfreaking believable what's going on. And all this noise that the Democrats have been making about, oh, this fair, you know, a fair wage, and the minimum wage has to be $15 an hour. And now that wages have gone up, okay, now that the Democrats are forcing business to pay a higher wage, the only way businesses can afford it is to what? Is to raise prices. So now it's a twofold inflation. One, the inflation of transportation costs, which is a direct impact on groceries, on gas prices, on a bottom line that's infecting every American household. And then you add to that the mandated government wage increases, okay, that has caused wage inflation. And what was the Federal Reserve's body's answer? Don't pay bonuses and don't raise wages in 2023 in order to keep wage inflation down. Well, wait a minute. If the Democrats are out there, these Marxists are all crying and whining about paying a higher wage and $15 an hour and $20 an hour minimum wages. Doesn't that go contrary to what the Federal Reserve just stated? And that was don't raise wages in America because it's contributing to wage inflation. They wouldn't say that energy was the biggest nut of that. They implied that wage inflation would resolve the inflation, the highest inflation we saw in 40 plus years. So, you know, there's a mixed message out there. And the one message that's consistent with the Democrat Marxist Party is that they're a destructive party. They do not have we the people's interest at heart. I think I just got an answer here. The GOP puts up a candidate for speaker due to a party secret ballot. The Dems do the same. Then there's a full house vote for speaker. So the Republicans could end up shooting themselves in the foot, and we could get a radical election denier, another Marxist as Speaker of the House. And I know it's noble. I am not a milquetoast McCarthy fan at all, proven to be nothing but part of the establishment. But I certainly don't want a Marxist. And after the last 4 years or the last 6 years of that anti-constitutionalist Nancy Pelosi, I don't think, you know, we cannot take the chance. I'd rather him step down, you know, 2 months into the speakership and put up somebody who's, as Joe would say, solid.
He's not going to do that. He wants this so bad. He's lived for this moment. This is his time. And
hey, they got rid of Liz Truss, though. Wouldn't they after 45 days or 44 days in the UK? And she was prime minister.
Yeah, but that's the UK. That's not here.
And plus, she was a woman, so.
Well,
misogynistic, right?
I guess there is a little bit of that, too.
Oh, so did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, very nice.
Good, good. Hope everyone out there had a nice holiday and enjoyed their Christmas. And I know it was a little bit cold. It was cold all around the country. I mean, I don't think there was any place in America that was warm except for maybe Hawaii. And especially if you were by Mauna Loa Mountain, a volcano. That's about the warmer spot.
Did you catch any of that Tampa Bay game last night?
I did not. Did not watch any football other than – I tried to watch some college football, but there's nothing on.
No, there's none of that.
What happened?
Tampa Bay won. Brady pulled it out at the very end in overtime. It was a great game.
Wow. Are they in the playoffs?
Well – they should. I mean, their record is, what is it, 6-8 or something? They might. Whoa. They may get a wild card. I don't know. They don't deserve it. They got
no
a bowl for everybody. They might be in the toilet bowl up in Flushing, New York, for all I know.
Ooh, very good.
But the NCAA bowl games, now those are the ones to watch. That's going to be exciting this year.
Yeah, it is. And I think the biggest game is certainly going to be Georgia against Ohio State. Number one plays number four. And I think that, to me, that's going to be the championship. But whoever comes out of that game should win the national championship, I think. But who knows? It's really going to be up in the air. Michigan, if Michigan prevails and wins their game against TCU, I think that could be a really good game. So,
yeah, I'm kind of rooting for TCU. They're an unusual name.
Oh, the Horn Frogs or something? The Horn Toads? Or...
Yeah, whatever.
Horn Dog?
Some kind of reptile they're named after.
Yeah. Yeah.
But BLM is happy that it's not a Confederate general, so they can deal with the reptile name without a riot.
Yeah.
So TCU is safe.
All right.
From that's good. No, I think it's going to be Georgia all the way. They're just too strong.
Yeah, they seem to have a good. Yeah, they seem to have a really good, solid team. So it should be it should be really good. So there was a revelation that came out in Jihad Watch, and since it's the year-end review, so the first 24 months or 22-23 months of the Biden-Harris regime has been an absolute disaster. It's been nothing but a downward trend and lies, misinformation, and disinformation. But we all knew that the Afghan pullout was a debacle, and for no reason at all other than it was Joe Biden and his feckless leadership. This comes out of Jihad Watch. Afghan officials smuggled $1 billion out before Taliban takeover as Biden poured in billions more. Business Insider has exposed a level of corruption in the U.S.-backed Afghanistan government. Among the biggest questions that arise is this. How much money did Afghan President Ashraf Ghani leave with, and how much hard-earned American taxpayer cash was among the money that was smuggled out of the country? Consider the fact that Ghani met with Biden in June 2021, less than 8 weeks before Ghani fled the capital amid the collapse of the U.S.-backed government. Although it's a mystery what Ghani left with, information points to him being a beneficiary of smuggled assets. Exclusive Afghan government officials help smugglers sneak almost $1 billion in cash and gold out of Afghanistan as the U.S.-backed government neared collapse, documents showed by Matthias Schwartz and Edris Lutfi. During the final months of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, as the Taliban advanced on the capital, the elected government struggled to reassure its U.S. patrons that it could maintain control. Yet at the same time, smugglers were illegally carrying hundreds of millions of dollars in cash and gold out of the country, with the assistance of officials from within the Afghan government, according to internal government documents and former Afghan officials. The office of Ashraf Ghani, the U.S.-backed Afghan president, had been informed about the problem, insiders say, but it did nothing to stop it. The documents assembled by Afghanistan's now defunct government and obtained by insiders show that $59.7 million in cash and gold went from Afghanistan to Uzbekistan through the port of Haritan during the first 3 months of 2021. So they were meeting with Biden, and they knew exactly what they were doing. As the U.S. contemplated withdrawal of its forces, the Taliban geared for the spring offensive that eventually toppled Kabul. During a 13-month period running from May 2019 through 2020, the total was a staggering $824 million. Though the couriers failed to declare the money to Afghan officials as it left the country, Uzbek custom agents on the other side of the borders did record the cash and gold on written customs forms. Can you imagine that? So much do you have here? Let's see. We have $59 million in U.S. currency, and we've got $100 million in gold. Would you please sign for this? Now the taxes due on this now is we've got that $13 million in taxes that are due on this. Okay, I just paid the $13 million. So much of the money Uzbek customs forms show was bound for the United Arab Emirates, where top Afghan officials would flee when their government collapsed later that year. Gold and cash totaled 4% of Afghans' GDP was smuggled through one border crossing situated on a river with one bridge crossing. Haritan is the highest volume customs port in Afghanistan. Insiders obtained 457 pages of custom records showing that more than $824 million in cash and gold illegally crossed the border. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, Jesus.
Just another day of business in Afghanistan, and another reason that President Biden should be brought up and impeached for his handling of the Afghanistan withdrawal, because this is a big part of it, where Ghani, the corrupt leader, took, 4% of GDP off the top on his way out with the help of the United States?
Yeah,
where's the audit? How much of that money came back to President Biden through channels in the UAE?
None of it. Because it says here, meanwhile, Biden administration continued to pour billions of dollars into Ghani's government and spoke publicly about enduring U.S.-Afghan partnership. Even after Biden announced in April 21 the U.S. military would leave by September, the official U.S. plan was to continue funding Ghani's government, having already spent $2.3 trillion on the war and $145 billion in reconstruction. So none of it's come back from the UAE. None. Zero. Zip. Nada.
It's terrible.
I know. Well, I've got an update on that speaker. Holder just sent me. The vote for speaker will be one Republican versus one Democrat. If McCarthy gets beat by Biggs, then it would be Biggs versus Jeffries. Only way Dems win speaker is if 10 Republicans vote for Jeffries.
Which I don't see happening in a million
years. I don't see that either.
Okay. That's why I was so against what Trump did, because he'd been screwed by these establishment Republicans from day one. I mean, how many times has Lindsey Graham stabbed him in the back and then comes back and licks his balls? Twice a year? Easy?
Twice a year. Yeah.
So now he's going to have the head ball licker who went, so he got in a round or two of golf and they got, nice guy. So they got to be buddies.
But they already had, McConnell last week, already turn on Trump once again. And, now he's blamed. Now McConnell comes out and blames Trump for the losses. Okay. And the one thing.
Which was his fault.
Which is McConnell's fault. Exactly.
Yeah. Trump's not in office. He doesn't control the Republican. He may endorse a candidate, but he doesn't run their election. He doesn't get them elected or not elected. He doesn't have the power of the Republican Party to ensure that. So he's getting way too much credit for getting people elected and not. His endorsement may push people over the top, as it did for a lot of offices that you never even heard about.
Right.
But
yep. Oh, agreed on that part.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to gloss.
Did you hear about the Taliban mayor that raped two girls and then beheaded them in front of their families?
No.
Yeah, this is a Taliban mayor. Now, where are the Chinese in all this? Because the Chinese, there's no mention of China anywhere. And the Chinese are digging up every ounce of rare earth minerals that they can rape out of the Afghanistan soil.
God. I don't know. I'll tell you, this whole thing really stinks to high heaven. And how much, were there any kickbacks to the Biden crime family, or who got kickbacks after the collapse of that government to allow the Chinese just to walk in?
That's where a congressional committee would be able to get to the bottom of this if they truly want to. And I doubt that the Republicans want to get to the bottom of it, because I'm sure they got a little kickback money too, strategically given by the Democrats to keep them silent.
Am I cynical or what?
I mean, I love this country. But damn if we are not the most corrupt country next to Ukraine at times.
Well, it's about the way the blind eye is turned. And it's an orchestrated blind eye turn. Mm-hmm. Let's turn a blind eye to Biden, the Biden crime family, to Pelosi and the crime family, to Ukrainian energy and how it's paid off. But let's make sure we go after and concoct and manufacture stories to go after an outsider, someone like, say, I don't know, Donald Trump. And here Trump is talking about, the Taliban. He's talking about Afghanistan, the Middle East, and you know, the five countries that are banned from coming into the country, into migrating into the country. And the narrative from everybody, including Nancy Pelosi, is a Muslim ban. It's a ban on all Muslims. And no, it was not a ban on all Muslims. But there's that selective outrage. So let's turn our eyes away from the Biden crime family, the Pelosi crime family, okay? And let's go ahead and start making stories up about Trump and about his leadership and about his mental abilities. And, you know, it's one story after another that's come out that vindicates, you know, Trump and in stating that, you know, there was the government is the one that concocted all the story. There was no Russian collusion. There was, you know, no quid pro quo with Ukraine. And it turns out the quid pro quo was Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama engaged in the quid pro quo. But the establishment rallied around, you know, Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, and he's a protected species. And it's absolutely a disgrace. And the reason why I talked about the five Islamic countries, you talked about the Taliban. You brought up the story about the Taliban mayor raping two girls and then beheading them in front of their families. We just talked about the $1 billion that was given that the Taliban government just absconded with. Okay, they fled the country with and let their country collapse. And now the Taliban's in control, and the Taliban says a ban on women in universities is needed to prevent gender mixing. You know, we were told by the Taliban, and I guess it was Dawah is what it was called. The Taliban leader said, oh, no, girls can go to school and get an education. Well, now they're trying to find ways to ensure that women don't get educated under Sharia. You go to the sixth grade, and that's as far as women will go. Then they will be subservient to men. They will be made indentured slaves to the Islamic men, the Taliban. They will cook, clean, and bear children. And they won't get an education because the biggest threat to the Taliban and to fundamental Muslims is an educated woman. So here we go once again. Okay, the West learns absolutely nothing, zero, zilch, nada, in denial to be inclusive, and all in the name of diversity. Okay, and all the Taliban keeps doing is they continue to tell us exactly what they're going to do. And you can go to Jihad Watch for this story. Taliban says ban on women in universities is needed to prevent gender mixing. Minister of Higher Education in the Taliban government on Thursday defended his decision to ban women from universities, a decree that had triggered a global backlash. Discussing the matter for the first time in public, Nida Muhammad Nadim said the ban issued earlier this week was necessary to prevent the mixing of genders in universities, and because he believes some subjects being taught violated the principles of Islam. He said the ban was in place until further notice. So we're talking about devout fundamentalism in Islam, and somehow this is Islamophobic. Now, all this individual is doing, Nadim is doing, is actually doing what? He's enforcing the word of Allah. In an interview in Afghan television, Nadim pushed back against the widespread international condemnation, including from the Muslim-majority countries such as Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Qatar. Nadim said that foreigners should stop interfering in Afghanistan's internal affairs. Earlier on Thursday, the foreign ministers of the G7 group of states urged the Taliban to rescind the ban. The warning that gender persecution may amount to a crime against humanity. It may. I mean, is this any time to continue to pander and to basically let your spaghetti spine droop? I mean, either you come out in force and say, we're not going to tolerate this, and there's no more money that's going to go to the Taliban. There's no more money to Afghanistan. Or you sit there and you keep continuing to pander to this fundamental ideology. Now, the other part is, well, enough support of the Taliban, enough support of Afghanistan. It's time to pull all money out the G7, okay? Because you don't know a damn thing about Islam. You don't know a damn thing about what the Taliban's role is, and you put them in place. You allowed them to take over the country. The Taliban's policies designed to erase women from the public life will have consequences for how our countries engage with the Taliban. Really, the G7 group includes Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, United States, and the European Union. Oh, well. A former provincial governor, police chief, and military commander Nadim was appointed minister in October by the supreme Taliban leader and previously pledged to stamp out secular schooling. Nadim opposes female education, saying it's against Islamic and Afghan values. Okay, so why are we given this lukewarm, this little candy-ass statement, gender persecution may amount to a crime against humanity? It is a crime against humanity. Jesus, is it that? I mean, can we get any more politically correct when you're dealing with this harshness? You know, what is there really a women's issue worldwide, or is it just a tool that's used in order to promote the Marxist theme? I mean, are women, you know, treated equally or not? In this case, with the Taliban, which may amount to a human rights violation, well, you know, I think maybe you should reconsider and you know, and let's all sing Kumbaya while the Taliban reconsiders. The Taliban's not going to reconsider a damn thing. I mean, I don't get the I don't get these political correct honks. I really don't. Then Obama released these five Taliban terrorists back to, you know, to the arena. And this is what happens. This is what happens. One, they took back the country. Okay. So the five Taliban terrorists who were released by Barack Hussein Sator Obama for an army deserter, okay, are now back in the fold running the Taliban. And now they're establishing policy. And that includes or excluding women from society, making them subservient to men. But we
knew. Well, I didn't see that coming.
You did? Yeah, I know. Right?
That's strictly Islamic law. It's the woman's job to maintain the household, and that is how they show their respect and love for Allah, by their ability to keep a house. The women want this too.
Right?
And then we were there for 20 damn years, Vito. And the people of Afghanistan, they didn't warm up to our Western ways. They didn't warm up to schools being open or new roads or wells being dug. And the minute we left, boom, it went back to the way that Allah taught them, following the Islamic law. We wasted our time.
And lives. It's bad enough Russia spent, what, 15, 17 years and gained nothing, and they ended up pulling out, and we laughed. You know, we laughed at Russia, you know, not being able to win that war in Afghanistan, and we spent 20 years there. And what does Joe Biden do? He pulls out, just unilaterally just pulls out. Well, you know, Trump was going to – you know what? For 2 weeks – the Taliban was advancing to Kabul, and you did nothing. And you allowed that country to descend into anarchy and into radical rule. Now the fundamentalists have taken back the country, and there's not a damn thing you're going to be able to do. So unless you plan on going back into Afghanistan, nothing's going to change. And you've also allowed China, the communist Chinese, to go in, and now to probably be the world's leader in minerals, right? They'll be the world's broker of minerals. So now the United States will pay dearly on top of that, as will the European Union and the rest of the world.
Yeah, that was the wild card. And if they listen to people like Robert Spencer and Steve Emerson and Claire Lopez, this wouldn't be any of a surprise.
Exactly. And we would have had a established base in Afghanistan that would have allowed us to monitor the Chinese, and would not be that far from the communist Chinese border. But, you know, all by design.
God, we're chumps. You got to hand it to the Chinese. They're going in there and just paying off the Taliban, letting the Taliban do whatever the hell they want. And non-judgmental. They want to kill their own people. They let them. All they got to do is keep the checks going, and then they'll rape the land, and that's that. Probably give them some high-tech weaponry and technological support.
Yeah, but, you know, at some point in time, you would think, though, the Taliban would turn on the communists. And,
oh,
you know,
they will.
It's just a matter of time, right?
Yeah, at a time of their choosing, when they're no longer an asset, and then they'll dispose of them because they're infidels, and the Chinese are the ones that are abusing the Uyghur Muslims because they're a threat to China, so they're keeping them down. So there's no love there. This is all business.
God, boy, it's you can't make this stuff up, really. I mean, it's really going to be an interesting 2023. Really is.
Yeah, things are heating up. I mean, you got North Korea shooting missiles and drones into Seoul, and then you got with that defense bill. Now we're going to be giving defensive arms to Taiwan. That's got China a little bit on edge because now they think that we're making a play with Taiwan. So they're getting aggressive towards Taiwan and flying jets into Taiwanese airspace. And then you got Ukraine. Then there's a whole clusterfuck.
Oh, Jesus.
President Biden's leading us down the road into World War number 3. And it ain't pretty.
No, and you know, the $1.7 trillion spending spree is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer sticking it to the American people one last time in 2022, you know, which coincides with Pelosi's last hurrah. And the outgoing anti-constitutional speaker has been a true thorn in our republic's side. And since 2009, she shoved the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. the Obamacare, down America's throat, trampling on the U.S. Constitution, and uttered those now infamous words, we must pass the bill to know what's in it. And it's true irresponsibility. It's feckless and reckless leadership. And this is not leadership. This is reckless abandonment. And Pelosi is supposed to be the guardian of the Constitution, the guardian of spending taxpayer money, the guardian of properly passing responsible and constitutional legislation. However, when the legislation mirrors that of Karl Marx's democracy, our Constitution is being threatened from within. And the one thing that we've spoken about over the last 14 years is the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum. The Muslim Brotherhood wrote, as a mission statement, the Ikhwan must understand their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. So look at the parallels between the mission statement of the Muslim Brotherhood and the actions of the Democrat Party led by Nancy Pelosi. Their work is a kind of a grand jihad, destroying America from within. Now, destroying America from within means attacking the U.S. Constitution and plunging America into unsustainable debt. Now, come up with cliches just like the Muslim Brotherhood had. Remember, it was the Muslim Brotherhood who came up with the cliche Islamophobia. And look what the Democrat Party cliche has been this past year. Democracy and MAGA Party. The perfect anti-constitutionalist to move the Marxist agenda forward is the establishment, the uniparty, the government party led by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, McConnell, Hoyer, Schiff, Biden, Power, Rice, Jarrett, and of course Obama, just to name a few of the anti-Americans, a nucleus of saboteurs within the government, destroying America from within. Just how look how aggressive the cabal of anti-Americans have been to undermine our constitutional republic since 2009. The Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obama doesn't care. Intentional abandonment of America's borders. The reckless and wasteful spending. Pork-laden, monstrous spending bills with gluttonous spending to feed the corrupt appetite of the anti-Americans in Congress and their cohabitors of corruption. The intentional manufacturing of lies and misinformation to undermine the presidency of Donald J. Trump. You know, one person I didn't list on those anti-constitutionalists moving forward with the Marxist agenda is Jerry Nadler, congressman from New York. Nadler is the author of How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda. Now, imagine a president of the United States who sets his agenda to make America great. Believe in America. Believe in the American people is considered extreme. MAGA is considered extreme. Why? We've really not looked into this question. We've been sidetracked for the last 6 years and intentionally by design. Why would a Congress, why would a U.S. House, a U.S. Senate be opposed to making America great? Opposed to believing in America, believing in American ingenuity, and most of all, believing in the American people. And that would be the American people of all races and colors and creeds. You know, Nancy Pelosi has been the perfect chimpanzee to advance a radical agenda to undermine our constitutional republic. Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution states in part, the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay debts. Entering 2021, the U.S. debt was $25 trillion. Today, just 22 months later, the U.S. debt has risen dramatically to over $31 trillion, and that's without this past weekend's reckless $1.7 trillion spending spree. A $1.7 trillion spending spree, 4,155 pages, passed in the Senate at 1:30 in the morning. And Congress was expected to pass this in less than 2 days, which it did. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, leading with reckless abandonment. The guardians, which have a responsibility to protect America, to protect the Constitution, to protect taxpayer money, and they continue to fail the American people, raping the taxpayer coffers with their pork barrel reckless spending. 4,155 pages of pork passed once again in the dead of night. How many of the 535 members of Congress actually read the bill? I'm going to say 0.0. It's another abandonment of the guardianship of America, of America's Constitution. Abandonment of protecting and defending the U.S. Constitution, an oath taken by each and every member of the U.S. Congress. We must pass the bill to know what's in the bill. That's what Nancy Pelosi's credo was. Yep, Nancy Pelosi stuck it to the American people one more time. Debt-laden spending. Debt that continues to add to America's rising unsustainable debt created by the un-American people elected to Congress. The Muslim Brotherhood's mission is to destroy America from within. The Muslim Brotherhood are heavy donors to the Democrat Party and align tightly with the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, along with their uniparty members on the right side of the aisle, adhere to the mission statement of destroying America from within. U.S. spending creating debt to unsustainable levels. Shame on each and every member of Congress. And of course, the installation of brain-dead Biden is the perfect empty suit to assist in the dismantling of America's republic. And what's the Democrat Party's cliche? Democracy. Democracy. What was the orchestrated Democrat Party cliche launched by brain-dead Biden in a teleprompter reading? MAGA Party. MAGA Party was a slogan that was launched at the start of this past year's midterm elections. Now, on November 9th, 2022, one day after Election Day, have you heard the cliche repeated, MAGA Party? Have you? Just sit back for a second and think about this. All we heard okay, for 6 months leading up to this election was MAGA Party, MAGA Republican. Think about this. Since November 9th, 2022, have you heard the term MAGA Party? Have you heard the term MAGA Republicans? No. That slogan, that cliche has not been uttered to define Republicans. Why? Because the mission was accomplished. It didn't matter who the Republican was, as long as they were defined as a MAGA Republican. And what is a MAGA Republican? Other than making America great? Imagine a major political party who's been entrusted with a taxpayer checkbook has no vision to make America great, only to use the term MAGA to malign and misinform the American people in order to manipulate an election. A campaign of disinformation to define the Republican Party, including each and every candidate running for Congress, including Adam Laxalt of Nevada, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Herschel Walker in Georgia. The Alaskan Senate race is a great example of sabotaging the Republican candidacy of Kelly Tshibaka in order for the establishment player Lisa Murkowski to once again obtain re-election. And if you had any question about Mitch McConnell's allegiance, just take a look at that Senate race. Why in the world would Mitch McConnell dump $7 million into a race that only had Republicans? Why? That Senate race, Mitch McConnell dumped $7 million into Lisa Murkowski's reelection campaign. Imagine $7 million going into Adam Laxalt's campaign in Nevada to defeat a destructive Democrat. No, two Republicans running for the United States Senate in Alaska. And guess who Mitch McConnell was supporting? After two votes, they got the designation that they wanted, and they wanted Murkowski to win that race. They needed a couple of votes for it, but the objective was to get Murkowski elected, and it happened. But to spend $7 million and not dump money into Adam Laxalt's race in Nevada, which could have turned the tide, or Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, and let some Nimrod go in who can't speak in complete sentences like Joe Biden? So if you have any questions about the allegiance of Mitch McConnell, just look to the Alaska race. And then it was keep voting until you obtain the outcome you wanted. Paint all GOP candidates who lost as Trump supporters, MAGA Party members. Remember, it's the Democrat Party who dictates the narrative. The past month and a half, the term MAGA Party hasn't been used at all. Now the comfort level is to blame Trump. But remember, it goes back to Jerry Nadler's manifesto, How We Resist Trump. The playbook by the Washington, D.C. cabal. Trump is an outsider. How We Resist Trump. And now Trump was on the ballot somehow in 2022. Recent Harvard-Harris poll conducted December 14th to 15th were asked, is Joe Biden mentally fit to serve as president of the United States, or do you have any doubts about his mental fitness for office? 64% of independent voters expressed doubt for Biden's mental fitness. Somehow only 79% of Republicans thought the same. A paltry 27% of Democrats thought the same. This man shuffles, bumbles, and mumbles, and speaks incoherently. Now, why is Joe Biden a protected species by the Democrat Party? For 4 years, we were led to believe Trump was mentally unfit. After all, Trump secured the U.S. southern borders, right? 72% of independents think the wicked man Joe Biden is too old. 86% of Republicans think he's too old. Only 38% of the left-wing liars of Democrats think he's too old. Yet Joe Biden is a protected species. In the end, what we've witnessed from a Biden presidency thus far are chronic lies and misinformation. A totalitarian regime weaponizing government bodies to strong-arm and silence Americans, using the FBI as his Gestapo. Yet Biden is a protected species in Washington, D.C. cesspool of corruption. Biden shuffles out of his basement, trips up the stairs of Air Force One, babbles and stutters his way through a teleprompter reading. yells and gets angry, all signs and indication of dementia. Biden, a shuffling embarrassment put in place to dismantle everything Trump, irrespective of the success President Trump policies had, including energy independence. And the energy independence, the trickle-down effect of energy independence was lower prices at the pump, lower utility costs, lower heating oil prices, lower natural gas prices, lower grocery prices, lower transportation prices, lower inflation, more people working, paid less at restaurants, more confident Americans, and guess what? You made America great again. And imagine a MAGA sign of radicalism as defined by the destructive Democrats is to define making America great as being radical. Al, this entire 22 months has been nothing but a disaster, and all by designs. And every time you turn around, and we played that audio last week from Senator Cruz, every time you turn around, it's Biden withdrew from this, and Biden scrapped that. Biden did this. In the meantime, all of those things that were being scrapped, that were put in place by President Trump, all those policy regulations and such that were removed in order to make America great, are put back in place, and now we've got $6 trillion in debt added to the $25 trillion already in place. We've got gas prices at 60% higher, 70% higher, which rose to 300% higher. And somehow Biden doesn't have to account for any of that. No press conferences or limited press conferences. And when he does get a tough question, he does the thing he's most noted for. He turns his back and he walks away. Because if the teleprompter doesn't give him what to read from, the handlers don't want him to go off script because he's dangerous when he goes off script. Because he's not a smart man. And certainly his inability to speak off the cuff. I think it was the Federalist. I heard a commentary from a Federalist author. Biden is hermetically sealed president. He can't go off script. It looks and it sounds terrible. And those are the optics of this Fairlow fraud.
Well, he's got the media to back him up and the social media as well. What we're learning with these Twitter dumps is that Biden's COVID response admits that masks won't stop a virus. After how many... a year and a half of us saying the same thing, and we were getting canceled. We were getting maligned. We were getting our families were upset with us. We were killing grandma and grandpa. And then in the Twitter files, we learned that Twitter censored COVID info through the FBI and other federal agencies. That's where they were canceling people and making the news and changing the news to fit their narrative. That's the government. And the only reason we found this out is because Elon Musk bought Twitter. If Jack Dorsey was still in charge of Twitter, we never would have gotten any of this information. And that makes me even more jaded and cynical. Like I can be any more jaded and cynical now and even more.
Well, you know, and that's what's also troubling. Okay, so here we have – it's not something that's made up by right-wing conspiratorialists, but you have a Twitter dump. Not one page, but you have – not one dump. You've got seven dumps thus far. And so far, we're learning some frightening things, which includes the Dorsey-led Twitter was colluding with the FBI. And the FBI was colluding with Twitter. So they were – the FBI, was dictating what information could be disseminated. And then, of course, they made sure they spiked the stories, anything to do with the Bidens, including the Hunter Biden laptop, which now it turns out was absolutely true. And the New York Post was unfairly, unconstitutionally silenced at the behest of the federal government, the FBI. And where's the outrage?
Well, there are laws that are broken. I mean, Twitter altered the COVID conversation by sharing information that was true, but not in line with U.S. government policy, according to Just News. They were discrediting public health experts who disagreed in suppressing contrarian users, the last installment of the Twitter files showed on Monday. Now, both Trump and the Biden administrations directly pressed Twitter executives to moderate the platform's pandemic content according to their wishes, reporter David Zweig said in the 10th Twitter files release. And we have Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is now looking, he is having a formal study into the vaccine itself, and that's starting to get a little, people are getting a little nervous about that. So kudos to Governor DeSantis.
So the corruption is rampant.
Rampant. You got the FBI and Twitter conspiring to lie.
Yeah, to lie.
Yeah. The FBI is not, that is not in their mission. They are upholding the rule of law and arresting criminals. But they're not doing the, they're not supposed to be doing the bidding of one party or the other. And a lot of people are calling for, oh, got to dismantle the FBI. I think the FBI just needs a house cleaning from the top five decision makers. Get rid of them and start over. And I think because the FBI is a very needed agency. They do a lot of good work. A lot of the men and the women at the building cases are doing great work. But they're corrupt at the top, and that's what needs to be taken out. And I think the only person who can do that is Donald Trump.
You know, I agree with you on that 100%. And, you know, it's not the it's not the field level officers of the FBI agents, who are the problems. And I think what happened was this. I believe that when Obama, the Obama-Biden regime, weaponized the FBI to start spying on Trump and to lie about the in order to obtain FISA warrants, I think it emboldened the top echelon of the FBI. And at that point, since they didn't get caught, since they weren't called to the carpet, it allowed them to expand their edict, their totalitarian authoritarianism. And in doing so, now they take it upon themselves, well, if we can control the courts with these phony FISA warnings and we can find ways to suppress Donald Trump, then we certainly can expand that to social media platforms. And when you have the ideology of social media platform hierarchy, the same as the left-wing Marxist about, you know, getting rid of Trump, it makes it a lot easier to impose these anti-constitutional edicts. You can suppress information. You can deny the redress of government for grievances, and you certainly can impose religious, you know, restrictions based on religious freedoms. And you do it because now you have a willingness in the U.S. media. The media is in line with the Democrat National Committee. They believe in the left-wing ideology, the Marxist provisions, all because the ends justify the means. And it was about getting Trump or anybody who's associated with Trump. Any Republican running for office that was endorsed by Donald Trump, whether that individual knew that Trump or not, that person was ripe to be terrorized. That person was ripe to be defamed. And then you come back and they say, well, we're not going to allow, you know, misinformation. Be careful of misinformation, when in fact it was the government itself who was engaged in misinformation and disinformation. And COVID was a great example of that. And who broke that? Who broke that? Joe Rogan broke that when he had that conversation with Sanjay Gupta, I believe it was. All of a sudden, Sanjay was from CNN, was agreeing with Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan then had Dr. Malone on, and all hell broke loose because Malone and Rogan had a casual conversation, and Dr. Malone, you know, laid it all on the table, and we found out the government indeed was lying.
Yep. And when President Biden came into the White House, he began focusing, as for an example of one person, Alex Berenson. He was focusing on anti-vaxxer accounts. And during meetings with Twitter, Zweig reported the Biden administration specifically targeted reporter Alex Berenson, who was critical of vaccines and subsequently removed from Twitter. It's canceled, silent. And Twitter is a great vehicle for people to get information out, because if you're like Snoop Doggy Dogg and those people, they've got 30 million followers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You can have quite an effect. Now, these guys didn't, you know, they didn't have that kind of pop culture coverage, but they had millions of people reading their tweets. When they put out something that is contrary to the Biden administration line, and then they get Twitter to silence them, that's one voice, only one voice on Twitter, but that one's gone. They're not going to be able to reach their million people again. And then they're going to go after others, and they're targeting specifically anti-vaxxers or anti-COVID vaccine people. And this is what's coming out. It's scary. This is like the Russian TASS news. This is like Russia going after their enemies.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're getting cyber-whacking people.
So you have the government engaged in denying First Amendment free speech. Now, I don't know what part of that does people not get upset with. I don't understand, you know, how is it that people like us, when we bring this fact up, you know, you're accused of hating, you're accused of misinformation, when in fact we have it in black and white that the government engaged with a social media platform to control speech. That is not the job of government. That is not the job.
Right.
And yet they felt emboldened to do so. And well, you mean to tell me you can't call that into question?
I don't know, but I mean, dissident yet legitimate content, was labeled as misinformation. That's COVID content. Was labeled as misinformation. For example, ivermectin is good. Taking vitamins is good. Exercise is good to beat the COVID virus. That's all true and good. And that was labeled as misinformation, and the accounts of doctors and others were suspended both for tweeting opinions and demonstrably true information that was validated and validated today. Doctors. And that's what killed the Hippocratic Oath, and that's what killed modern medicine, in my opinion.
You know, it's a virus. And so is the flu. The flu is a virus. So, you know, if you take if you do get the flu shot, it doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. And how
right.
is it that doctors like a Dr. Malone and his partners, you know, try alternative methods of therapeutics, okay? And they find those therapeutics that work, but suddenly, because those therapeutics are proven to have worked, you know, on a larger population, like, I don't know, 799 out of 800, somehow that physician, that medical practitioner is summarily rejected because other means of therapeutics are working, but it doesn't fit the narratives, which then the narratives that are being put forth are narratives to help prop up the word fear. And mm-hmm. you have a doctor who is actually helping to subside that fear. And also we're talking about a virus. Okay. And all of a sudden these people are rejected. And then you've got Biden who sits there and calls out President Trump and says, well, if you have 220,000 deaths, you should resign. Where are the calls for Joe Biden to resign with over 700,000 deaths under the Biden-Harris regime? You know, and Biden had the vaccine under his anointment, his presidency, and yet there's no calls for Biden to resign. You know, almost four times as many people died under Biden's thumb than Trump, and Biden's got the vaccine. So you know, a lot's wrong here.
Yeah, and a lot of people that went to the hospital, they were given the CDC protocols, and that included remdesivir, which you got at the very end. Is the very last thing. And if the family went to the doctor and said, I do not want my family member getting to get ivermectin protocols the Z-PACs, whatever it was, the non-vaccine, they would not do it. They refused to do it, even under court order. Many hospitals refused to do it, and that's where a lot of people died. That was horrible, absolutely horrible.
I hate to say, is that what they wanted? I mean, you know, and also, what was it that was working? In Florida, they were given the, what was it? It escapes me off the top of my head. I heard about it. And Biden removed, stopped supplying.
The monoclonal antibodies.
Monoclonal antibodies were working. People who were having this or tested positive for the China virus went and got the monoclonal antibody treatment, and it was working. And the Biden regime took that away from Florida, so there was no monoclonal antibody treatment in Florida because it was working.
Yeah. And I have a couple of friends that were steps away from going to the hospital, and they went and got the monoclonal antibody, and within 48 hours, they had a complete turnaround.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, here's the other news of the day, which is breaking, which was it's in Patriot, and says that the White House coronavirus response coordinator, Dr. Jha, has finally admitted it. And this is something we've been saying, you and me, we've been saying this for 2 years now. Masks are completely worthless to prevent the transmission of viral infections. Jha was a speaker for the online event, quote, "The Future of COVID and Public Health," which was sponsored by the Philadelphia Inquirer, during which he claimed that we need to work on indoor air quality for better lives. Well, of course, we were saying this. A piece of cloth is not going to stop a virus. You would actually need like a hazmat suit to maybe stop a virus if you're lucky, just because they're so tiny. And yet people are wearing masks. You're seeing people masking up today again. You're seeing the New York mayor telling people to mask up for the holidays to protect your family and friends. And they're doing the same lies again, and people are falling for it. It's people are so easily brainwashed in the name of good for the community.
I still see people driving with masks on. It floors me. It absolutely floors me. In the car by themselves, and they have a mask on.
Mm-hmm. Idiots. And I see people that are just scared to death. Or else they're arrogant pieces of crap who think that they're virtue signaling for the rest of us. And that's a mental illness. I don't know the cure for that.
I think the majority of it's fear, and I think that's what the government intended on. It was intended on to instill fear, but I don't think the outcome was as expected. I believe that they wanted the outcome of Imperial College, Livingston, who predicted that there'd be 2.5 million deaths in America in the first year, and then 500,000 deaths from COVID in the UK, and that hadn't materialized. And I think that was a disappointment to the governments because they tried so hard to instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers.
Right. And this guy, Jha, goes on, he says, quote, the notion that you could cut respiratory infections, with a mask, there's no study in the world that shows masks work that well. So you're never going to get the kind of benefit from mandatory year-round masking as you would from making substantial improvements in indoor air quality, plus it's a lot easier to implement. This wholly upends the mask zealots who claim that masks will save us from the coronavirus. They won't, and they never were going to, despite the lies coming from Fauci, Biden, the leftists, and the CDC, the legal ruling authority of all things COVID and protocols.
Hey, speaking about all things, we have a call up on the line. I'm going to put him on here. Are you taking? Good evening, Holger. Merry Christmas and a pre-Happy New Year. How you doing?
Howdy ho.
Hallelujah. It's The only thing better than getting over the holidays is the fact that the temperature got about zero today.
Yay. Oof.
Oh. Yeah. Got up to 5 degrees. Yeah.
Global warming, man.
Yeah, Vikings were all out sunbathing.
Well, you survived, so I'm glad to hear that, because we got down to 40 below, I believe, in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, all the global warming people are kind of quiet now after, you know, last I saw, they're talking like close to 100 people freaking froze to death in this thing, so.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I think we need to start putting more carbon back into the atmosphere, quite frankly. Quickly.
That I agree with.
I just had one quick comment for you guys. A great show so far. Going back to the Twitter files, and it's, you know, this is a big deal, and you guys have done a really good job of covering that and so forth. I think I just wanted to pass this along. I was on Twitter the other day, and this was after, you know, it came out that the FBI had paid Twitter like $3.5 million. And I made this, you know, smart-ass comment on Twitter about the fact that, so let me get this straight, you know, the FBI actually took my money, Holger's money, paid Twitter to have me banned. So I actually paid to have myself banned. And, of course, this lefty, you know, twat comes back and, you know, says, nowhere in the First Amendment does it talk about Twitter, you know, not being able to, you know, being able to ban you. They can ban anybody they want to. It's a private enterprise, blah, 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 blah. So instead of just blocking this shit, I just decided to try to engage in some conversation, you know. And so I was pointing out to him that the First Amendment doesn't apply to Twitter. My comment was based upon the fact that Twitter banned these people or suspended these people or filtered information based upon basically an order from the federal government. And that's what the First Amendment is all about. The Bill of Rights is all about protecting our rights from the federal government. So in other words, if I own a restaurant and some guy walks in with a T-shirt on that says Joe Biden is the best president ever, I can ask the bastard to leave. Get out of my restaurant. That's not what the First Amendment is all about. Let me read the First Amendment. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Congress shall make no law. You go to the Second Amendment, it talks about the fact that you've got the right to bear arms, and that should not be infringed upon by the federal government. And this is where people get off into the weeds, because this kid that came back to me, do you know how many people actually believe that? They're like, well, Twitter can, you know, that's a private enterprise. They can do anything they want to. Yes, they can. Absolutely. They can ban anybody they want to. They can suspend people. They can filter. They can, you know, they can do all that. The problem is the government stepped in and told them what to do. That's the violation of the First Amendment rights. If there was no, if no government, you know, if nobody from the FBI or nobody from the Biden administration had done any of that stuff, then, you know, then that's up to Twitter. And I'm 100% behind that. But, you know, we've got people in this country who absolutely are clueless about this Constitution that's supposed to, like, be the backbone of our republic. They got no idea. I mean, it's like It's like, who the hell was Jesse Jackson's kid? What the heck was his name? He was a congressman from Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who, I can't remember his first name, but he's the one that came out, you know, years ago when Obamacare came out and said that you know, health care is a constitutional right. And people just took it, oh, well, he's in the Congress, so he obviously knows. You know, I think it's just sad that people don't understand, you know, why those Bill of Rights are there. Those Bill of Rights were there because those guys that wrote them had zero trust for a centralized power. The king had screwed them over for decades, and they said, okay, we're going to establish this federal government, one that we really don't want to have to do, but since we got to have a federal government, we're going to make sure that these clowns don't get power hungry. And so that's the damning thing. That's the point where, like Al said, if we actually had a Congress that represented the people and not the federal government, if the Congress actually represented the people, then they would have hearings with every individual from the federal government that got involved at Twitter and got the evidence out there as to what exactly they demanded, what exactly they asked for, what they suggested, all that kind of good stuff, and all of them should be charged with violating the First Amendment rights of the citizens of this country.
And Holger, that's the outrage where people don't understand the ire of why it gets the ire. Twitter file number 11. When the Biden administration took over, one of the first meeting requests with Twitter executives was on COVID. The focus was on anti-vaxxer accounts, especially Alex Berenson. Zwigger writes, as he then begins to give examples of various medical professionals that were targeted by the White House and the platform. You have the United States government controlling speech. Now, it's one thing to say that if Twitter was apolitical, and now that we know the political leanings are confirmed to Twitter, and they lean to the left wing, okay, to the control side, okay, but that doesn't – forget about the political leanings. The fact is that the federal government came in, and one, they paid $3.5 million to control your speech – and anybody who spoke out against the vaccine, their speech was controlled at the request of the federal government. That is wrong. That's a totalitarian regime. Where is the outrage by the American people? Forget about your political affiliation. The fact is the government came in and told the social media platform how to think and then how to control the people who thought outside of the thought process of the federal government.
Exactly right. Alex Berenson had a live Twitter account. The Biden administration sent an email. Days later, Alex Berenson has a dead Twitter account.
Yeah.
That's a violation of Alex Berenson's constitutional right of freedom of speech.
Yep, exactly.
And that's the key. Now, if 3 months earlier somebody at Twitter didn't like Alex Berenson, you know, talking about the vaccine or some bloody thing, and they decided to ban him, fine. They can do that. It's their platform. It's a private enterprise. That's a whole different thing, you know? You know, it's like if someone calls up this show tonight and decides to, you know, go on and on and on about the fact that, you know, Islam is the only religion, and you guys hang up on them, you didn't violate their right to free speech.
No.
You know, but if I called up and wanted to proclaim my affection for Christianity, and Al got a phone call at that same moment from, you know, the DOJ and said, you better get that bastard off the line, that's a violation of my freedom of speech. So,
if I do it,
Well,
if I comply.
And that's what the kickback on Elon Musk is all about. I think that's a manufactured outrage. How is it that Elon Musk is going back and taking those accounts and putting it back into effect where those people have voices? They've been wrongly, disconnected, and now they're connected back on Twitter, and suddenly there's a speech issue. You know, he's infringing upon speech. How is he infringing upon speech? First of all, the federal government has no business in Twitter and dictating to Twitter what speech is acceptable. So now the new owner of Twitter says everybody's reinstated. Now, you start doxing me and you start disclosing, stuff about my kids. That's a violation of Twitter. Okay? That's a violation. You've now endangered my family. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I mean, Jack Dorsey should have told the federal government to stick it, because we're not going to adhere to government control of censorship or suppression of person speech. Where's the outrage?
Absolutely. I'll just leave you with this point, because I thought about this when this clown on Twitter jumped all over me, and all of his little butt buddies all jumped, ganged up and, all started joining the fray. They can do anything they want, blah, 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 blah. So, but what I thought of was the fact, what happened to the left in this country, from even back in the late 60s all the way through the 80s with Reagan, and then all the way through all those horrible years with George W. Bush and all that kind of stuff. Whatever happened to this radical left who is all against the man, against the machine? They're the ones that wanted us to throw their bodies on the gears and on the machinery to stop this evil federal government that was restricting our lives and our free speech and all that. And frickin' 15 years later, these people are cheering the banning of Donald Trump on Twitter. These guys are cheering every conservative in this country being stripped of the right to say anything. They're cheering the fact that Joe Biden is basically threatening MAGA Republicans in a national speech, outside of the Liberty Bell, for God's sakes. I mean, these were the people that were supposedly the staunchest supporters of free speech in this country. And in a matter of 15 years, they have absolutely bought into the federal government. Give them all a brand new pair of frickin' jack boots. Get them all brown shirts. Brand new, nice pressed brown shirts. They're just unbelievable.
Is it a fear issue? Is it a fear that the people on the right are starting to make sense, and then of course you had the mass exodus of Black Americans out of the Democrat Party who realized that they were being used and abused, and all of a sudden they were starting to put two and two together, and they understand that in fact the Republicans or the conservatives were not trying to stem their voice, but only give them, vehicles to get out of the squalor that they were in, and give them make sure that the opportunity was equal and in fact was equal, and they weren't now all of a sudden the tune was different, and that was the fear of the left wing.
I think what happened is the people on the left in this country who believed in total free speech and that the government was evil and all that kind of good stuff got old like we are, and they started dying off like we are, and they got replaced by the new wave. They got replaced by the
Obamas.
What's the word that
the
they
Marxists?
Use for AOC and Presley and
the squad?
Omar. The mob, the squad.
The squad.
They got replaced by that mentality. That's when all the Blue Dog Democrats went away and the party shifted completely into this total Marxist, globalist, type of thing, and that's what's taken over. So you've got this whole new generation of people who think it's absolutely wonderful that the government can force you and me to put a freaking mask on, that they can force a business to shut down because they're not essential. They think it's great. 40 years ago, you would have had Democrats like in Chicago. They would have been picketing. They would have been protesting across this country, the shutdown of businesses, the forced isolation. They would have been protesting left and right, but they all got replaced by this new wave of Marxists who believe in absolute total government control. That's all I got.
Bingo. All right.
Boy, aren't you a ray of sunshine.
Just got to lay out the truth. Somebody's got to tell the truth around here.
Well, that's how they're doing it. All right, you two hold your great
calls. Hey,
hold your,
right, happy New Year, man. We'll talk to you next year, I guess, right?
Yep, we'll do. See ya.
All right, man.
Stay
take
warm.
Care. You know, it's funny. I go back to the hold your good point, and that was what changed. And I go back to the Prairie Fire that was written by two anti-Americans, domestic terrorists, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who launched the political career of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. And, you know, the radicalism of and the anti-Americanism of the 160-page narrative or initiative Prairie Fire. And he's so right. And then you got the 12 Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. And you read those 12 Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, and the Democrat Party of today is following those edicts to a T. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Make the enemies live up to its own book of rules. Ridicule the man's most potent weapon. A good tactic for young people. A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. So, right, keep up the pressure. Never let up. And they came up with the term, you know, MAGA Republicans. And then once that outlived its usefulness, it was a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. So now you abandon that because you've achieved the means that the necessary means, and that was to make sure that Republicans didn't get elected. It's unbelievable. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And exactly what's being done. The rules for the radicals.
Yep, and they're getting them when they're young, in high school and college.
Yeah, yeah.
With all of these, transgender, whatever, going into the schools.
Oh,
that's a big problem. That's a big problem.
And it's less than 1% of the population of less than 1% of the population. And these Marxists now have made that the primary objective in order to control the narrative, and instructing kids, 12-year-old kids, don't tell your parents that you want to change your gender. It's like incredible. Incredible.
PJ Media has put out a tweet, and they had a study, and the study showed that transgenders have 4.5 times higher rate of psychiatric illness than normies. So we're normies. Just like you said, that's 1% of the population. And is it any wonder that these gender-confused people don't know or want to change – who they don't know, but they want to change their DNA? I mean, how unhappy could a person be when they know they can't change their DNA, but they want to change their DNA? You're talking about being unhappy with yourself? So, of course, they're going to have a mental illness. The whole idea is a mental illness. But like you said, luckily only 1% of the population has this mental illness, and we have to accommodate them. And I'm tired of doing it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I mean, Richard Levine, Admiral Richard Levine, he is a man, a cross-dresser.
That's right.
Doesn't matter if he gets his he mutilates his body, he's still a guy. And
he's still a
cross-dresser making policy on gender-confused kids. And it's really ridiculous because if you're a – tell me, is it 16 or 18 that you have to be 16 or 18 to legally contract with another person to make a contract?
18 years old. 18.
To have a legally binding contract, like for my business or your business, for us to have a legal contract with a young person, they have to be 18 or over for it to be
legal.
We're
going
to hold
binding.
Up in a court. Yeah.
That's correct.
Hold up. All right. So if you got somebody who has to be 18 to sign a legal business contract, how in the hell is the government coming in and taking these kids to the doctor or putting it in their head that it's okay, one, to be gender fluid and that you need drugs in order to help you along with your journey? It seems like these doctors who are doing this should be lose their license and be thrown in jail and sued.
You see, it's funny you asked that question. And you know what, Al?
Huh.
I think
you're transitioning?
No, but you asked that question. No, not
right,
this week.
Just checking.
But okay, yeah, thanks for checking.
Hey, I care. That's why I'm asking.
Just,
that's all.
I just love women.
Who doesn't?
It's interesting. You did ask the question. Why are doctors doing this? And I think about something always bothered me about one soundbite that Hillary Rodham Clinton stated several years ago, and I know Susan in on the switchboard, and I'm sure she remembers it. And if Big was listening, he would too. Maybe James as well. What did Hillary Rodham Clinton say? It takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
And there was no outrage. Conservatives questioned it. Okay, conservatives came out, and there was some backlash. But overall, there was no condemnation. As a matter of fact, it was almost adopted as a statement of fact. Well, if it takes a village to raise a child, that means that the initiatives put in about, one, taking God out of society, and then allowing children to make their minds up by forcing them or by manipulating them, which in fact that's what this whole thing is about manipulation, then the doctor, you know, who assists that 12-year-old to transition without the parents' knowledge, isn't that a village raising a child, not the parents raising a child?
Yeah. Sounds like they're trying to destroy the nuclear family.
Yeah.
Have the state take it over.
That's correct. That is correct. And that is extremely dangerous. And that's another thing, the destructive Democrat. That's what, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton, there's a woman who is a destructive woman, but that's part of the Saul Alinsky, you know, you control the people, you control the families, you take religion out of society, make sure you don't believe in God. And especially if that 12-year-old's parents are Christians and have a faith in God, and now you're instructing that child, okay, to not tell their parents about their sexual orientation or what type of medical treatment they're going to be receiving. And so who bears that liability in the event that child commits suicide after attempting gender reassignment, as they call it, huh? Who's responsible if the school instructs that child not to say anything to their parents, and in the meantime, something mentally breaks down with that child, which is proven to be an issue now, okay? And as a matter of fact, I think it just happened to a congressman's child, okay? Who takes that responsibility? Will the state now take responsibility? Will the government take responsibility for abusing that child? You know, unbeknownst to the parents, because isn't the initiative by the left wing it takes a village to raise a child? No, it takes the parents to raise the child. This
well,
is all part of
that way.
Exactly. It's always been that way. But somehow, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton's statement, it goes unchallenged, which I find reprehensible. I find that reprehensible.
Yeah. I think we've got a lot of threats to this country. We've got China. Not only are they making moves on Taiwan now and flexing their muscles, but nobody's talking about China in space with their space platforms.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's scary. That's a whole topic for another show. And then you've got what's going on in Ukraine with Russia. So everything seems to be, I don't know. It's like nothing's spinning right. It's off edge. It's going out of whack.
Well, you know, and I keep saying that, you know, that Joe Biden's not smart enough and he's a dumb, you know, he's one of the dumbest men that you could find in government. And yet, you know what, whoever is behind, because I still don't think that he is smart enough to do this on his own, who's ever pulling his strings is doing a masterful job. They've got the right person in there, someone who's brain dead. Someone who doesn't care about society and just cares about, you know, about policy, his own policy, doesn't really know what's going on and infects, you know, it infects, I don't want to say change, but I don't think that, I think Biden is the perfect individual to be installed as president. I mean, they're undoing everything Trump did, And Ted Cruz last week in that audio explained it perfectly with regards to the energy side and what Biden did, undid Trump policy, undid this Trump policy, implemented this restriction, undid, you know, this Trump policy. And somehow we sit there and people still, you know, they don't get it. They don't get it. So I think by the installation of Biden was absolutely ingenious because it's an individual who is heartless. He doesn't care. He doesn't know really what's going on. And you can actually control him. And I think the Federalist individual, or I believe it was editor, who made the statement. Where is it? I got it right here. I just absolutely love it. Biden has been hermetically sealed president. And you know what? That was an absolutely apt description of the Biden presidency thus far. His candidacy was hermetically sealed, and now Biden is. No one's questioning the fact that this man can't do and will not do any press conferences. How is that possible? If you go back to C-SPAN, you watch C-SPAN, and they show, you know, the 4 years of Trump, you know, they'll show segments of it. And here's Trump walking out of the White House, walking to Marine One, and he takes a half hour to answer questions. Trump had no problem giving press conferences. He knew exactly what his thought process was. But Biden can't do that. Everything has to be scripted with this guy, because when he goes off script, the wicked man starts mumbling, shuffling, and he absolutely starts lying. It's one chronic lie after another. And misinformation. I mean, goes off and talks about Bo being killed in Iraq, which never happened. You know, talks about other things that are flat out lies. And yet the media does nothing. And you sit there and say, how is this possible? What are we missing through this whole thing? What is it that we're missing? You know, what is it that Trump was so vilified for, and yet you got Biden, who is given a pass on everything, including his mental ability. I mean, this guy has the codes to, or access to the codes to the nuclear weapons, and he's not even the wicked man can't even put two sentences together. I just, it's truly incredible. Selling us on this $1.7 trillion spending spree, you know, talking about the Inflation Reduction Act that spent $758 billion on green energy, the Green New Deal. And all it's done is it's eliminated carbon fuel, and people are dying as a result of it. You know, people's checkbooks are not being balanced, and people can't afford to put gas in their cars. And then we talk about gaslighting. There is gaslighting is the great terminology of the Biden presidency. Gaslighting. For 1 year, from January 20th of 2021 to December 31 of 2021, gas prices rose over 300%, and in some cases, over $7 a gallon in California. And Biden said zero, nothing, zilch, nada, said zip, nothing. And then in February, you had Putin invading Ukraine, and suddenly we're talking about gas prices. This is Putin's inflation. So for 1 year, he said nothing, and there was no Putin invading Ukraine, and the term gaslighting comes up. And now you've got Biden, who's pounding his chest, talking about how gas prices have come down again for the third consecutive week. Excuse me, but Joe, you authorized the depletion of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve by 60%. In order to artificially manipulate gas prices in time for the midterm elections, okay, and the end of the year, and now you've depleted our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which had been filled to capacity by the previous president, President Trump, at, you know, less than $40 a barrel, almost at near $0 net barrel, okay, and now you're going to replenish it at over $70-$75 a barrel, or start replenishing it. You've gone to eerily low levels in order to artificially and manipulate gas prices in America. And where's the accountability for that? You know, where is ABC News, NBC News, CBS? They all want to be so relevant when it comes to policy making. In the meantime, you have this administration recklessly, okay, moving us off of fossil fuels immediately, and plunging prices plunging families, okay, into deficits because heating oil is up 300%, natural gas prices are up 200%, you have gas prices up 60%, you have food prices up, you know, 50-60%, they're continuing to rise. And then you're also paying farmers not to farm, all in the name of climate change scam. You're paying Africa not to manufacture fertilizer, all for this nonsense of climate change. In the meantime, the chief importer of fertilizer, Ukraine, can't export anything as a result of the war with Putin. And wouldn't you look to the African nation to start developing, you know, fertilizer in order to assist the farmers in growing crops in order to prevent starvation and malnutrition? See, I'm not getting all this. You said everything's upended and upside down. And how is it that, you know, it's only conservatives who are talking about this, and yet the so-called mainstream media that has bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee, okay, can sit there and not report these things? Biden has done is unbelievable, okay, and it should not be tolerated. And you guys in the media, when it came to reporting on President Trump, you ran with manufactured news. You had zero respect for the man, okay, for the president of the United States, okay, who talked to you each and every day, 365 days a year, and Biden has yet to do a press conference or speak in complete sentences, and there's no outrage? Why is everything so secretive with Joe Biden? Is it because he is hermetically sealed? Is it because he can't go off script because he doesn't have the mental ability to handle, you know, an influx of questions because of the stress will cause his dementia to go out of control? And he could crap his pants, or he could say something stupid as he normally does, or lies chronically like he does? How is it? How is it that he's allowed to get away with this? And now we're almost 24 months into his presidency, and yet this man has yet to have a coherent press conference, a frequent press conference. And no one calls him, it calls to question his chronic lying and misinformation. And then we're finding out what's happening with Twitter. On the 11th dump, we're finding out that the Biden administration coordinated and colluded with Twitter to suppress and control the flow of information, which is a direct violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And we're not to be outraged. Well, it's a new year, Al. And that new year starts next week, January 1st. And I think it's incumbent upon the American people now to start calling out this stuff. If the media, who wants to be a relevant source of information and they want to be taken serious, if they can't do it, it's time that we, the people, do it. It's time for us to rise up and say, enough is enough. We're not going to take this anymore. And we're tired of the spending. $1.7 trillion on absolute junk. Yes, we must fund the Department of Defense. You know, we must fund, you know, the government. But you pass 4,155 pages at 1:30 in the morning and give Congress 2 days to read this bill? Is that the type of leadership we've come to in the United States government, or the lack thereof? I mean, my goodness gracious, we $3.6 million on a Michelle Obama trail in Georgia. You know what? Why don't you raise private funds for that trail? Matter of fact, why don't you have Michelle Obama pay for that fucking trail? They got so much money. They're writing all kinds of books. $477,000 for Equity Institute in Rhode Island for teachers' professional development. Why? So they can rewrite, you know, the history into the Marxist theory? $3 million to New York Historical Society LGBTQ Museum Partnership Project. Why? Why not raise private funds for that? $1.2 million for San Diego Community College District for student support services for DACA recipients. And so taxpayers are still paying for the DACA recipients. In the meantime, by April of 2023, April 1, you're going to have 15 million people off of Medicaid. 15 million Americans are slated to be taken off of Medicaid under this spending spree. But there's no talk about illegal aliens coming off of Medicaid programs. You know, back in the 1920s, early 1900s, when our grandparents came over, there was no federal assistance programs. There was no government programs. We're gonna throw 15 million Americans off of Medicaid to make room for the 2.5 million illegal, unvaccinated, unvetted aliens coming into the United States, sucking off of the taxpayer teeth. And then Nancy Pelosi gets a federal building in San Francisco named after her. Whoa. Was it Alcatraz? God. Just, it's unbelievable what we're seeing today. Patrick Leahy writes his own subsidies, okay, because he's retiring, okay, the number four man in the U.S. government. In line for the President of the United States, he writes a freaking bill, $35 million for the Patrick Leahy Lake Champlain Basin Program. It authorizes $35 million a year each year from 2023 to 2027. That's $175 million. Did that need to be in the omnibus bill? Is that what needed to be thrown in there so quickly? $30 million for Patrick Leahy Bulletproof Vest Partnership Grant Program. Oh, suddenly the left wing is going to support police officers, but it's going to go for research evaluations, and you know, it's like more wasteful spending. In the meantime, InvestUSA.org is supplying active shooter vests to first responders and police officers around the country. They've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 years. They try to raise private funds in order to help police officers around the country. More wasteful spending after another. $44.9 billion to Ukraine. Is that because Mrs. Zelensky now can go to Paris, France, and to her posh upscale boutiques and spend 50,000 euro while there's a war going on in Ukraine? We just keep pouring money Foreign money, money we don't have. And now $602 billion is what it costs for the interest on our on the $31 trillion. Add another $2 trillion to that. Thanks to Nancy Pelosi, to Chuck Schumer, to Mitch McConnell, to all the fucking rhinos who voted for this wasteful spending spree. Instead of funding the government, they all started funding their own pet projects. And we're going to pay interest, more interest on it, just as the Federal Reserve declared another half a point interest, half a point uptick in the in interest rates. Just what a disaster!
No, it looks sorry. Like Carrie Lake is winning her lawsuits, and that's good.
That is good.
Yeah,
that is
and
good.
Then, and we have an election investigator wins lawsuit over 120,000 missing votes, which is good. So all these stories are now starting to pop up about through the Thomas More Society. America's voters may soon be getting an answer to what happened to the 120,000 people in Pennsylvania who allegedly voted in the 2020 election, but now cannot be found. A judge has ordered the Lycoming County Office of Voter Services to provide investigator Heather Honey with a digital copy of the cast vote record file. And this is a big win. This should have happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know,
this is what they had it.
The ends justified the means. The ends was the means was to get rid of Donald Trump, and the ends justified that. So it really didn't matter, you know, how everything ended up, because the idea was to get rid of Trump. And you know, when Trump rightly, okay, correctly brought up the fact that there was cheating and there was irregularities in voting, suddenly everybody else went deaf. They went brain dead. The left decided to go brain. And the more the more time that goes by, the more it proves that President Trump was correct. There's no way, shape, or form that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. There's no way. Go ahead.
I was just saying, it resulted in the world's worst insurrection in the history of mankind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there were a million people with no guns, and the police letting them inside the Capitol on one part of the building. Talking about a horrible insurrection. It was pathetic.
We got 7 minutes left, and you know what? To your point, okay, it's now coming out as well that Nancy Pelosi was indeed in charge of the Capitol Police. The Speaker of the House is responsible for the Capitol Police, and it was her negligence, okay? And you know what? It's turning out that it was planned negligence to understaff the Capitol Police, even when they knew the amount of people that were going to descend on Washington, D.C. And furthermore, one other statement I'll make is this, and we talked about this prior to the show. The timeliness of the Capitol Police opening up the removing the barriers and opening the doors and waving people in, the timeliness of that is very suspect to me as well, because it was said that Arizona was getting ready to vote, okay, and cast their Electoral College votes, and Arizona was going to contest the votes based on voter irregularities in that state, and the electorates were going to contest it. And just as Arizona was to cast their electoral votes, suddenly everything was shut down because there was a riot inside the Capitol. Now, was it a planned riot? I'm going to say yes. Why am I going to say yes? Because the Speaker of the House was in charge of the Capitol Police. And why would the Capitol Police, you confirmed it. I had two other people, unbeknownst to you, okay, not just you, who were in Washington, D.C., who confirmed the fact that when they walked by, they were watching the Capitol Police waving people in, removing barriers. And they thought it was kind of odd. So they thought that the Capitol was open because they had no idea what was happening. But they were watching the Capitol Police wave people in. Now, did Nancy Pelosi, was that the instruction in order to stop the vote? Because now when they go back, what, at 1 o'clock in the morning, 10 hours later, suddenly there's outrage. Oh, we had people breach the Capitol. oh, we had people breach the Capitol. Oh, well, now you can't contest that because, you know, that was a sign that President Trump was looking to overturn the election. No, he wasn't. But you weren't allowing the Electoral College to work.
So silly. It's a done deal anyway. And
right.
It's political theater, and Nancy Pelosi, like you said, was behind it. Came out 2 years too late, unfortunately.
That is for sure. And she'll be gone as Speaker, thank God, good riddance, but her last hurrah was to stick it to the American taxpayer in the U.S. Treasury, and that is reprehensible. But you know what? They did it all year. The Democrats, the cabal, the rhinos in Washington did it all year long. $7 trillion in new spending in the last 22 months, and that is reprehensible.
Well, here's my prediction.
Okay.
McCarthy is going to be our next Speaker of the House, and he will do nothing. All of these big promises we've been hearing for the last 2 weeks, he's going to go after this. He's going to have an exploratory committee. He's going to investigative committee this, investigate that. None of it will happen.
No. And you know what? The Republicans are going to get blamed in Congress for gas prices being high. After Joe led down the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the supply chain will be blamed on the Republicans, and it's perfect. They have set themselves up very nicely. There are no leaders in the U.S. House, and we'll see what happens. We could be wrong, but you know what?
Wow. Boy, I brought in the clouds of doom, and you brought in the rain and thunder.
I'm just setting up because I feel pretty confident that we're correct on this one. And, you know, it's time for the American people to stand up. It's time for the American people to say enough is enough. And the patriots are going to do that. We are going to stand up. We are going to hold our elected officials accountable. It's a new year. And guess what? 2023 is upon us. We want to thank all of our global patriots for listening, for joining in this past year. We thank you so much for your support. We want to thank all of our hosts. Obviously, we have some great hosts. You know, Paul Sutliff, Osama Dakduk, Andrew Harrod with Islam in Focus. We miss Eric from Kafiristan. Hank Jones of Poly Sports. He's on Wednesdays, and Paul's Thursdays, and Andrew Friday, and Osama Dakduk Saturday. I want to thank my great compadre right here on the Vito Esposito show, Al. It's another year, Al, and it's going to be successful in 2023, and we're not going to let anyone rest anymore, and we are going to start holding every one of these elected officials accountable, and looking forward to a great 2023, and that's all I got to say. Thank you. Thank you so much to our listeners. I want to thank all of our callers. Thank you, Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Holger. Thank you, Belly. I know that Ron's not here tonight. Bigfoot's on a sabbatical, but his great blogspot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bringing on Boy, Alaskan Boyd, Smoke from Texas, Christy. Thank you all for your continued support, and we look forward to a great and outstanding 2023. So God bless you guys. God bless our listeners on the podcast, and thank you so much for joining us on Monday evenings.
Adios, amigos.
Enjoy your holiday. Enjoy the new year. And Al and I will be back next year, January the 2nd, 2023. Ciao, everybody. that was a fast, it seemed like it was a fast 2 hours.
Yeah, they always go by fast. A lot of news, a lot of different fronts, none of it good.
Man.
From transgenderism to transnationalism, we covered it all.
You know, I saw the
shoot
post that you
now.
Put up.
Huh?
I saw the post you put up about Richard Levine on Twitter, and you know, it's quite disturbing. It really is. I mean, God Almighty, this is what the government's engaged in, and that's what made me think about Hillary Rodham Clinton's a slogan. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. I thought that was always a troubling statement, but now I get it. You know, the government's coming in and they're going to raise your child and you're going to have no say about it.
Yeah. And people go, well, why would they want to destroy America? Well, they hate capitalism and they mm-hmm. think that they have a better plan and a utopian society. They just have to, they can't build it on their own. They have to destroy us in order to build it off of our ashes. It's been like this throughout history. People don't believe it until it happens. But there's destroyers and there's producers. We are producers.
Yeah, you know, I was reading over the Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals and the 12 rules for radicals. You know, the first one is healthcare. Control healthcare and you control the people. Mm-hmm. And it goes right to Nancy Pelosi. And since she's leaving, you know, she's the one that uttered the infamous term, you know, we have to pass the bill to know what's in it. But it was about mm-hmm. controlling healthcare. And in the end, that's what Paul Ryan agreed with, controlling welfare. He did nothing to assist President Trump in terminating, you know, or replacing Obama doesn't care. And so, you have these political control freaks on both sides of the political aisle. And certainly Paul Ryan was one of them. But Nancy Pelosi, is adhering to the Marxist ideology for rules for radicals. And that number one, you know, provision is control healthcare. You control the people. And then poverty, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, look what Biden has done the last 24 months, increase the poverty level as high as possible. So what have you done? He's done it intentionally by raising the gas prices, making things more unaffordable, raising wages to levels that are causing businesses to either close their doors or terminate people. And then, of course, the debt is up to unsustainable levels. And, you know, you want to talk about people who are complicit, you know, in this, I mean, Pelosi, Biden, Obama, and Schumer, and McConnell. $7 trillion in spending in the last 22 months. $7 trillion in debt, excuse me. The debt went from $25 trillion to $31 trillion. $24 trillion to $31 trillion. In just less than 24 months.
I don't think you and me can work it hard enough to pay that back.
No.
And the producers, I tell you, once we get below 50% of the population, meaning people who pay federal income taxes and work,
mm-hmm.
we're done. The government will win.
Yeah.
Because they'll just redistribute all of our fruits of our labors to others, and they'll get elected forever and ever.
Exactly. Tuition, you know, free
care. Yeah, it's free tuition.
Free education.
Yeah, talking about to hand out the families who put their kids through college one way or another.
Mm.
I mean, nobody forces you to go to college and spend $100,000 to major in gender studies.
No. And what's the biggest hypocrisy, the biggest hypocrite out there in Congress? I just absolutely love it. You've got Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren sitting there, you know, talking about how we need to pay the college tuition. It's not fair that students have this much college debt and how much debt they have. So it's incumbent upon the U.S. government to pay, you know, these student loans off. Wait a minute here. Hold on a second. you're a professor. You were a professor at Harvard. Your husband's a professor at Harvard. You still get $250,000 a year from Harvard University. Why don't you give back that $250,000 a year and then demand Harvard, okay, reduce their tuition so that students can afford to, any student that can afford to go there. Now, I know that they have, you know, there's a hell of an endowment. They have one of the biggest endowments of all colleges and universities in the United States. So some of these kids don't pay that tuition, you know, but the fact is that you're still receiving $250,000 a year on top of the $175,000 a year that taxpayers are paying, and you have the audacity to say that it's that government has to pay for your education.
speaking of universities, did you see the story about Hamline University fires faculty over Prophet Muhammad painting?
Yes.
And the painting was turned in Minnesota. I should have brought it up, darn it, when Holger the Viking was on. But reading through the article, you know what the class was?
What?
Islamic art. When Muhammad said, there is no art. You can't pictures of people. You can't do that. Maybe animals and landscapes, but that's about it. But artistic endeavors are not highly valued.
Hey, is Sue on?
She is. I just popped her in. Hey, Sue.
Happy New Year, Sue. She might just be listening.
Probably put her to sleep.
Yeah, so an Islamic art course, and the professor gets fired.
Yeah, not even a modern one. It was like a historically accurate picture of Muhammad, because there's a couple of them that are out there. People were offended.
You know,
yeah.
The Muslim Brotherhood has done a great job in manipulating the entire Islamic narrative. It really
oh, hell
has.
Yeah. They're laughing. They're going, God, can't believe we got this dopey professor fired. This picture that's all over the internet. Damn, we're good. They're afraid of us.
And I see New Jersey legislator assembly is talking about designating January Muslim Historic Month, and they're using the phony narratives. Yeah, you're live, Sue.
Oh, hi, Vito. I just wanted to wish
Happy
New Year to both of you. Hi, Al.
Hey there.
Great
Happy
show
New Year.
Today.
Thank you.
I put your show out, got on Twitter, and sent it out. You know, the weirdest thing, though, I was sending it to different people, and the tweet would go out, and then it would disappear and go off again.
Hmm.
And I only got one of, I think I sent three different groups your show. So
that was really weird.
Yes,
you
know, I had that conversation with somebody else today, and, you know, I just went on, I decided that I was going to try this tweet deck, and because on regular Twitter, I'm finding that people that I used to follow, I don't get anything from them. And I've DM'd them, and CJ came back and said he's having problems getting things out. And now he goes on Twitter, and what comes up are all the left-wing stuff, including Biden, and that's what's happening to me. I'm getting all these left-wingers, you know, with all of their tweets, but I'm not seeing anybody else's.
So what is TweetDeck anyway? What is that?
Well, I just got on. Okay, so TweetDeck, you actually it gives you more of your followers, and you can designate who you want to follow. So, like, I can put you in there as that I follow. I don't see any tweets from Biden or from Meathead there, Mike or whatever his name is. I forgot his name.
Rob Reiner.
Thank you. I see two or three tweets from Robert Reich with his left wing garbage and this other guy, John Cooper. So today I put together this tweet deck, and I don't see anything from them. I'm getting more of my followers' tweets, and then the notifications, I can see the notifications pop up, and also there's a column for messages, and now I see your message. I saw a message from CJ, who I was trying to find out if he's still on Twitter, because I don't see anything that he puts out. Nothing. And it's like, he says, I'm still on Twitter. He says, but I'm having a problem also seeing anybody else that I follow. All I get is left-wing jargon. And he's right. It's exactly what I mean, every time I turn around, I'm getting something from Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton's tweets. I'm seeing Biden's tweets. And it's like, I don't see, you know, but maybe one, the Nancy Italian. I see her tweets, which they're great, but I don't see yours. I mean, it's just like, wow, this is insane.
So how do you get the tweet deck? So that's what I don't understand.
So
I'm just now coming back to Twitter.
Okay, so I went to www.tweetdeck.com, T-W-E-E-T-D-E-C.
Okay,
now, I don't
it's
know if
like another app that you have on
yeah.
your phone instead
you
of
go.
Twitter. Okay, I got you on that. I think I was on TweetDeck at one time a long time ago. Yeah, but that was just... That was really strange because it says view your tweet, and I did, and it was there. And while I was looking at it, all of a sudden it disappeared.
Oh, jeez. See, that's nuts.
So they're in there doing something again, you know. So I don't know. Anyway.
What was the thing about?
I just wanted to say. Yeah, go ahead.
So. Have you heard any more about any more about Russian attacks on Kiev? And I know you follow that issue.
I haven't been following a whole lot. I mean, a little bit of what I'm getting from, you know, because I follow those Russian blogs and stuff, is
okay.
The Russian people, you know, you're starting to hear stuff about them getting rid of Putin, actually.
Wow.
It's really weird, you know, what I'm reading. And most of the ones that they've all gotten out of Russia, so now they're able to say a little bit more. And I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell how much contact they're having actually with Russia itself. That there are body bags now coming back of the Russian soldiers. And, you know, he instituted that draft, too. So people in Russia, you know, now that the body bags and stuff are coming back, are pretty unhappy. I don't know. I haven't heard that much about, you know, the attacks on Kyiv. The ones I follow are talking, you know, you're hearing stuff about them wanting to get rid of Putin, but I don't know how much they're able to do this. But I do know a lot of their soldiers have turned on the some of his generals, and they've actually killed a couple of them, his own soldiers. Anyway, that's what they're saying. You know, whether it's true what I'm hearing on those blogs or not, I don't know. So, you know, but I don't know. I'm starting to get real worried about this Zelensky and all the rest of it. You know, these wars, they're meant to help the people who manufacture all of the bombs and, you know, all of that stuff. That's what Vietnam, that's why it dragged on and on. You know, they would take a hill and then, you know, leave and the Viet Cong would come back and, you know, all of this stuff. And you're seeing the skin between Russia and Ukraine. And it's all being manipulated by, you know, the warmongers. That's what I call them. But these are the people who get rich off of war. And it's
agreed.
On both sides. It's pretty scary.
Yep.
So
it is scary.
I don't know. I'll I'll go back in and see, you know, what I can find from some of them. But over Christmas time, I just sort of, you know, stayed away from all that kind of stuff a little bit. Today I did get into just a couple of them, and I read them again, you know, like what's going on. But the rest is pretty scary. And everything. I mean, you know, it's incredible what a lot of the people and how they live and what happens to them. And, you know, we think our medical care and everything is bad. God, it's really bad over in Russia, what's going on. And then, you know, you've got places like the UK, Germany, I think even France a little bit. They're getting to where they want to stop all this migrant, you know, influx that are coming and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And they're really, you know, even the people are starting to rebel against all this stuff. And it's just like here with our border, you know, in comes all these migrants and everything, and they put, you know, whether it's our veterans or our citizens or whoever, you know, they're out on the street, and the migrants are getting all of the, you know, living quarters and everything. And all over the world, it seems to me, people are starting to really rebel against that. And then with the energy, they're starting to go, you know, they're finding that, you know, the wind energy and solar panels, you know, those are all good and well if you've got sunny days and wind, you know. If you don't, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. And so, you know, there's a lot of talk and stuff about going back to nuclear, you know, power plants and things like that. And it just came out that they have found with the nuclear somehow, some scientists or something that's come out that there's not as much nuclear waste. They can, you know, I don't understand all of that stuff, but somehow they can use the nuclear, but it, I don't know if it's kind of like recycles the waste and uses it again, but there's less nuclear waste. So all of that is really pretty interesting that's coming up. And, you know, I don't know if you follow it, but I know we all hate climate change. But, you know, Prince William, that Earth Shock, the awards that he gives out, you should go see what the awards go to. That is really interesting stuff. That people, it's not this climate change crap, you know, solar panels, all of this stuff. And it's going to, I don't know, I think in Africa, one group of women came up with, you know, something. But go and take a look and see what these individuals are coming up with. And it definitely will not benefit, you know, these climate change, you know, solar, wind, and all of that stuff. It's totally opposite of all that crap. And so I went in and I wanted to see, well, you know, what were these awards given, you know, since it occurred in the United States. And there's some pretty innovative and neat stuff out there that some people are doing. And so, anyway, I kind of got off on a tangent. Sorry about that. But,
all right. You know,
yeah, but really, I mean, go take a look at what some of these people are coming up with. And, you know, it's just whether it's a group. There was one from Australia, this group of women from Australia, and they're really not tied to all of this nutty, you know, Greta Thunberg crap stuff, and, you know, all these companies that want the solar power and all that stuff. They're not connected to any of that at all, but it's very interesting with what they're coming up with, you know, just individual people out there. And I think that's going to be the answer to everything. You've got to go to individual people and, you know, look at what's happening. That they sure got quiet with the storms that came through. I don't know how cold it was where you were at, but we got into the negative digits here. And
Sue, this is my contention. This is what really bothers me with this whole, you know, with this whole Biden radical climate change agenda and the left wing agenda. I am very confident over the next 150 years, because we have something like 200 to 400 years of oil that could support the United States of America.
Yeah.
In the next 100 years, and we'll be dead, and I don't care, but I know in the next 100 years, I am very confident that through American ingenuity, inventors, through world knowledge, that an alternative fuel source will be had. In the meantime, you don't abandon fossil fuels immediately, causing an unnecessary rise in prices that are absolutely crippling families. I mean, that's absolutely irresponsible. We trust the American people. For one, the American inventor, the inventors who come here, they will come up with something.
See, that's what this Earth Shot was. I followed it the first year that it came out, and I was like, wow, that's some interesting stuff. And then this year, you know, where the awards went to, it was all like individual people or groups of people who got together and coming up with, you know, innovations and stuff like this. And none of it is tied to, you know, like, this climate, these idiots, climate change. And if they keep going down that road, that's going to prove you right in the long run, because that's where we have to go. But they're not against, you know, the fossil fuels and stuff like that. They're starting, you know, they're realizing that, yes, we do have to use this and we have to do, you know, do different things until we can get to that point. And that's the whole purpose behind the Earth Shot. Like, you go, you know, the opposite way, because Earth Shot has a lot, I think, to do with the Kennedy Center. You know, that's where it came off of, Kennedy's vision, you know, to get us on the moon. And but then if you go to the RFK site, that's where you have the Looney Tunes. You know, I don't. Did you see that Zelensky gave Biden a medal? And Biden sat there and said, "I really don't deserve this." Did you see that?
No. What medal? What kind of medal?
It was a medal of courage or something.
Oh.
And he was in the White House. Yeah, he was in the White House.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll see if I can find it. I maybe sent it to you. But I don't know if Twitter's acting weird or something. You maybe
That's
never
right.
got it.
Hey, if you give me a couple of mil, I'll give you a Medal of Honor, too.
Oh, yeah.
With your name on
you
it.
Know.
Personalized.
Yeah, well, he, but what was so funny is, you know, the only thing Biden kind of like, he, you know, how he talks and stumbled and said, well, I don't really deserve this. And of course, I had to get on there and say, no, you don't. You know, I'm starting to do a little fight back with some of these people, but a lot of them, you know, they come on and I just block them. Because I'm starting to learn that, you know, you can't get anywhere with a lot of the idiots who are out there. And then all they do is make their life hell on Twitter. So, you know,
right.
I mean, they put something out, you know, they get a little nastier, some comments, and then I block them. And then I block all of their followers, too. It's like, I don't want you people around me. I probably have. At least 10,000 people blocked. I don't deal with them anymore.
Good.
They're not worth it. you know. But yeah, I'd like to know what's going on with Twitter, and if Elon Musk, you know, if he's like aware of it or whatever, I don't know. And did you hear in California? Yeah, that's a nutty place. California now, if doctors speak out against the COVID vaccine and the you know, how you're supposed to treat COVID and the mask mandates and stuff, that they will take the doctor's licenses away from the doctors. They can lose their license.
No way.
Oh, yeah. It's in California, and I found that. I don't know if it was
I thought that was all done and over with, because we talked about those two stories this week where they said the masks, people said from the CDC or from the Biden team somewhere that masks don't work, which we knew, and that
vaccine doesn't work. We're talking California. We're talking Newman. You want to know one crazy place? It's California. And they keep putting in all this stuff, you know, that's different. The Parkview Medical Center here that one of my doctors is, you know, you go there and you still have to have your mask on. And I asked my doctor, I said, when are they going to, you know, stop doing this? They don't work. And he just looked at me and shook his head. He said, we'll be wearing masks forever. It will never go away with this group. So, you know, you're still seeing the masks and the mask mandates and people being forced into the masks, even though it's come out, you don't have to. Now, another doctor I go to, you go in there and there's no masks, there's no anything, but they're not affiliated with the Parkview Medical, you know, and that's the biggest group here where I live. So it's still occurring. It doesn't matter. And if you're in a blue state, it's still going to occur. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm in a blue state. But California is totally nuts.
Yeah.
But there, you know, to take away a doctor's license if you speak out against the vaccines, and they're starting to go full force on masks and everything. Newman is
insane.
And so it's kind of crazy. But it was kind of funny, the climate, you know, the cold, the climate stuff, you know, with this cold wave that came. It was over in Europe, too. They got the same cold wave, and all of a sudden, you know, you wasn't hearing so much about global warming. They changed the narrative into climate change.
That's right.
And so, you know, if it warms up a little, well, oh, my God, it's global warming again. And then if you hit the, you know, cold wave, oh, it's climate change, you know. But they're kind of getting caught up in their selves, you know. It's just really crazy. And people are getting really sick of this, and people are getting really cold in a lot of places. And it's affecting a lot of the elderly and the older people, you know, like they're turning down their thermostats to the 50s, you know, just enough to keep from freezing and things like that. I'm hearing that from different people also. It's
New
really
Jersey.
Sad.
Seniors, they're because of the high cost of electricity utilities, they actually have lowered their thermostats to 58 degrees during the winter because they can't afford to go any higher.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're barely keeping yourself warm. I know over in Europe, I can't remember which country it was. It might be the UK. But one of the power companies was taking over. You know, these smart meters are dangerous, but they were taking over and putting some type of control on to where they couldn't raise their thermostats above a certain temperature and everything. And, you know, that's what some of the governments are doing. I don't, you know, I'm thinking it was the UK, but it may have been one of the other countries. But it's pretty crazy. And, you know, Trump's been pretty quiet. Have you seen much from him?
Mm-mm. No, he hasn't. He hasn't said much.
Probably a good thing. I like hearing them, but I'm hearing from so many friends who are conservatives lately that they believe in their heart that DeSantis can win the presidency, and if Trump runs, will lose the presidency in 2024.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think DeSantis is ready yet. I think he's ready to run the country, and I think he would be fantastic. I don't think he's ready for the national scene.
Yeah.
You know,
people believe it. Conservatives believe that. I don't believe it, but a lot of conservatives.
Has he had any experience at all? I mean, you know, we've got Kim Jong-un and a missile came close to Japan.
Yeah.
What was it, last week or something?
And they had over Seoul.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got some crazy, crazy people out of there, you know, who are out of control. And I'm sorry, DeSantis isn't ready yet. You know, I think if you could get 4 years of Trump, and the main thing I want Trump for is on the national scene. He knows how to handle these people. And, you know, also I'm hearing in China, the Chinese are wanting to, they're starting to get really pretty vocal, overthrow. Who is the leader
President
in China? What is it?
President Xi. Xi.
Yeah.
He just
you know, like came in again. But when that big apartment building, you know, they were locking up and chaining people, you know, with this COVID thing and everything. And then a big apartment building caught fire and burned all those people locked inside. And Chinese people. And so he's starting to let people out of the buildings and easing up on the COVID restrictions that he has put in. But it'll be interesting to see if they're actually able to, you know, do something, because they're getting pretty vocal over there. It's pretty interesting to follow that.
They'll just whack 100,000 like they've done throughout history.
Yeah.
Trump change. 100, who cares? 100,000 people will just get rid of the problem.
Yeah. You know, I just, you know, I don't know. But, you know, with Biden's in there, I'm curious, you know, like with his laptop and all that stuff. He still, or maybe it's not Biden, but his handlers, they're dealing with China right now. I mean, you know that. And they're the ones who are giving, I mean, all of our medicine and everything now is coming from China, which is scary in and of itself, you know, to give that control, you know, for our, and our medications used to be produced here, and now all of a sudden they're all coming from China. Why? I think Biden and, you know, his family have set up deals, and I truly believe probably Obama has his hands in there, and, you know, some of the other top leaders. You know, I think they're all working in cahoots. I don't think Biden anymore has the brain capacity to be in charge. He set it up, definitely. But, you know, you've got his brother, and I don't know how much Hunter is doing right now. I still imagine Hunter is pretty active in all of it, because they've done absolutely nothing to him. So, you know, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see. But I don't think DeSantis is ready to handle the international problems that are going on, and that's my biggest fear right now. Like you were talking, you know, about World War III, and we really could see a World War III. And with this generation of young kids that we have that won't even work, you know, I've been trying to find someone to help me, you know, with my move and everything. No one wants to work.
Right.
You know, they're sitting on their, you know, behinds, and nobody wants to work. You know, even for above minimum wage or anything, they're just sitting back, and you can't find anyone. It's just blows me away.
The government cheese.
Well, yeah, and you know, is it like that in the red states, or is it just the blue states? Do you know?
I know Florida. That's not about it.
Yeah.
In Florida, can you get help when you need help, or have you guys not, you know, you don't have any need for that and you haven't checked into it?
Yeah, I don't know much about the, I know they have a Medicaid system and assistance, and I think the local communities can provide assistance. I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure if you go to the right, the right associations or organizations, you know, they can actually assist you and drive you to the right people, which is good. The right organizations.
Yeah. Well, I find any place here where I live, you know, to assist or anything.
Man.
And so, you know, I don't know, but if we have a world war, these young people that are out there today, I don't see them being able to step up to the plate like they did in World War II or Korea or even Vietnam.
Definitely suspect.
But that's okay, Sue. Don't despair, because Admiral Richard Levine is on the job as our U.S. Navy Admiral. So you just rest easy, sleep well.
So which one is Admiral Levine? Is he the transvestite one?
Yeah. Or yeah, no? Rachel. I'm sorry, Rachel. But I refuse to call him Rachel.
Oh, my God. So scary. So scary, you know. It's just, you know, and I can see people like Cheney and all of them. You know, and I hate to say it, the Bushes, you know, that's, and when Vietnam started, that's how they brought us out of recession. That's how they made their money, you know, and they've all got their hands in, you know, like the factories that, whether it makes the bombs or the weapons or whatever it is, they make their money that way. And so let's have a little war. Let's, you know, we'll start manufacturing weapons and all that stuff. And, you know, everybody's happy, hunky-dory. And we get the world's population chopped down a bit in the process. So I don't know. But I see possibly a World War III, I do, you know, coming. And it's people like McConnell and Cheney and, you know, all of the rest of them. They wouldn't be bothered in the slightest, I don't think, you know, because I think in the long run, they'll all be making money off of the war. And, you know, that's what I've always seen in the war. And I know a lot of Vietnam vets, clear back when I was in college, you know, they were telling me that was what was going on. They were telling me it's all about, you know, manufacturing the bombs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Howard Hughes was big into it, you know. And you'd be surprised when you start looking at it, all these people and how much money they make by having a war. And they get rich off of it. And our economy improves. And so, you know, everybody's just really happy except all the people who were killed. You know, that the one difference right now is we don't have a generation that can do what they've done in previous wars or, you know, police actions, whatever they want to call it. We don't have the people who can stand up and go to war and fight. I don't think they have it in their DNA or character anymore. I may be wrong, but I don't know. Do you see people, these young people stepping up and going to war and fighting?
No, but I think it's more of a globalization issue. I think that's what we're being groomed for, is the globalization of America, and I'm not sure that the wars are going to be part of it at this point. But I just think it's I think first and foremost it's about dismantling the constitutional republic, you know, and making America part of the globalization system, and that's where the Marxist ideology is coming into play.
And you know, Pence is coming out. He's running 2024. You know, by God, that's a savior for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting in 2024. Yeah.
It will be. Well, Sue, hey, Happy New Year to you. Thank you for all your help this past year, and I hope you get your apartment in order. I know it's been you've had a trying time there, but I hope things get worked out for you, huh?
Well, it's getting a lot better and everything, anyway, I'm at least in just one apartment. I'm still not completely moved, but I'm away from the black mold, so that's the best thing right there.
Good.
It's just frustrating that I can't even hire anyone to help. There's no one. I've even gone to the churches, you know, and it's weird. You can't get help. So, you know, whatever. I'll get it done. Anyway, Happy New Year, and sorry I went on another little rant, you know.
No, it's good.
But, you know.
I like hearing your rants.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I don't know, you know.
It's good to get it off your chest.
What's that?
I said it's good to get it off your chest. And I mean, how many people can you talk to in a day that are on the same wavelength, really? Probably not many.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you just, it's pretty crazy where I live. You've got people who are, you know, really upset about the gas and everything, but they still, you know, where I live, it's still the county that I live in is definitely pro-Biden, you know, Democrat. And so I just think they're just kind of crazy people. So I just avoid talking to them about anything like this.
Well.
Are you golfing at all, or it's not golf season?
It's golf season, but it's been cold. it's been cold.
Well, I hope you guys get to golf. Happy New Year.
Well, Wednesday.
Is Hanukkah over, Al? Right. Is Hanukkah over? Or
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Well, I hope that was all very happy. And, you know, I just pray that we've got a good new year coming up, but it's sure scary.
From your mouth, from your mouth to God's ears, Sue.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you sometime soon. And I'll try to get on some of my Russian sites again and kind of get a feel for what's going on.
Okay.
You know, because like I said, most of them got out of Russia, you know, when the draft went into effect. They all skedaddled out of Russia. And so they're putting out, you know, what they're hearing, you know. I don't know if they can overthrow Putin. there's a lot of talk kind of going on that Putin is not well also. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, you take care of yourself, and happy New Year to you. And we'll be talking to you. We'll talk to you next year.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Nice talking to you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so long.
Al, we'll see you later. Huh?
All right. Easy. Adios.
That's all, folks.
Hey, happy New Year. Hit the street. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Ciao. Thank you, Music Blog Talk.